Well done. Come up to the front if you'd like to. And this morning, as it's Good Friday, as Jay said, we're celebrating this. Not that. We're celebrating the cross. And Christians love to celebrate the cross in all sorts of different ways. So here are some of the ways that Christians do that. Some people like to wear one around their neck. Whole churches actually sometimes are built in the shape of a cross. Very common. And not just in England, all around the world. Here are some Christians from the Middle East celebrating the cross in Holy Week. And hot cross buns. Clues in the title, isn't it? Hot cross buns. Funny thing, isn't it, to put a cross on a bit of pastry, put it on a bit of bread. So lots of different ways Christians love to celebrate the cross. But like we said earlier, that's a little bit of an odd thing, isn't it? Very strange, isn't it, to celebrate the day that your favourite person in the whole world died. That's a bit strange, isn't it? Why don't we call it Bad Friday, not Good Friday? We're going to read a passage from the Bible to help us understand why, and we're going to have two reasons why it's Good Friday, not Bad Friday. So let's have our passage from the Bible up. If you can read, follow along on the screens. If you can't read yet, see if you can listen extra carefully as we read through this. This is what happened on the very first Good Friday. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Wow, so two reasons for us why it's Good Friday, not Bad Friday. And the first is the cross shows me that I am loved. The cross shows me that I am loved. How does the cross show me that? Well, it shows me the lengths that God would go to for me. It's always the way to tell whether someone really loves you or not. Not just what they say, but what do they do for me? Well, let's think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, when I was about your age, when I came to church, I was given one of these one week, one of these palm crosses, and I did with it what I think lots of you guys did with it last week, yeah? Yeah? I did that with it. I thought, well, this is a sword, isn't it? And I got told off by all the adults for doing that. And I might get told off again for doing this, but do you know what? Actually, the cross, in a way, it was a sword. In a way, the cross was God's sword, his punishment that we deserve for how we've broken his rules and ignored him, the punishment we face. But you know what? On that first Good Friday, the cross, the sword, fell, didn't it? But it fell on one person. He took the punishment from God that we deserve. And our reading from the Bible shows us what it was like for Jesus to face God's sword. So for one thing, it meant being alone, very, very alone. By this point, all of Jesus' friends had left him. Even his best friends had run off. Thanks, guys, very much. And all everyone left there was teasing him and telling him how stupid he was. But worse than that, even worse than that, you see, it says at the end of that first paragraph that even God had forsaken him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was abandoned even by his Father. That was the worst thing about it. It's a very bad thing. It feels terrible, isn't it, to be lonely or homesick. It's a very, very terrible experience. I wonder if you can think of the last time you felt lonely, really lonely, or homesick. Imagine there's a big party. Everyone in your class or everyone in your office is invited to a big party, best party of the year, and everyone's invited except you. Everyone else is going, talking about it, getting excited, what they're going to wear, what it's going to be like. Everyone's invited apart from you. Can you imagine how bad that would be? But do you know what? That was even worse than that for Jesus on the cross. Even much worse than that. No one's ever been more lonely or more homesick than Jesus was then. But he did it because he loves us, you and me. He loves us, and he died alone so that we would never have to be alone. He died without God, so we would never have to be without God. That was the first thing, he was alone. But more than that, he was alone in the dark, which is even worse. Do you remember, see, it says up there, the very first line, darkness came over the whole land. Now, let into secret, children, okay? Don't tell your parents I told you this, but even adults are scared of the dark sometimes. They probably won't admit it to you, but even adults are scared of the dark sometimes. Because in the dark, everything feels worse, doesn't it? Everything feels much worse in the dark. Ever noticed that? Headaches are much worse, aren't they, in the middle of the night? And things that aren't very scary, if you saw it in the day, when there were lots of other people around, suddenly they are very, very scary in the middle of the night. And time seems to go much slower, doesn't it? It goes on for ages and ages, drags on sometimes when it's dark. The future feels more scary at night. The past is harder to kind of forget and put out of our minds. Everything feels much worse, doesn't it, in the dark? But take all those things and multiply them by a million times, and that is just a little bit like what Jesus faced when he died alone in the dark. The sword of God's punishment fell on him. And why did he do it? Well, he did it because he loves us. He could have stopped it in a moment, but he did it because he loves us. Well, I said there were two reasons. That was our first reason. The second reason is, if you can go back to the verse from the Bible, please. Back again, thank you. The second reason is the last two lines there. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So the cross shows me that I'm loved, and it shows me that I am invited as well. If you can see that. I'm loved and I'm invited. Now I want to show you a picture of the inside of the temple. Okay, the next one. This is the inside of the great temple in Jerusalem. And you can sort of see there's that big curtain. And that curtain was there stopping people going into the very middle of the temple, which is the place where you would meet God, in the very middle of the temple. And so the curtain was like a giant no entry sign, like one of these. It was saying, no, can't come in, sorry. No matter how much you may want to know God, no matter how comforting you might find God, or how mysterious or fascinating you might find God, no entry. That was what the curtain was saying. What happened when Jesus died? The curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Like that. I like to think there's a reason why Jesus died with his arms stretched out on the cross. When we stretch our arms out, we're welcoming people, aren't we? We're saying, come, welcome. When Jesus died on the cross, he was saying, welcome, come in. Come into the party, right into the middle of things where God is. Come in, come on in. There's an invitation. Now, I've brought an invitation with me. This is my favourite invitation that I've ever been given. Okay, very special one. I got given it a few years ago. And this is the invitation to my sister's wedding. Look how nice that is. It was a great day. It was a lovely wedding, and they had a big party afterward. And I say a big party, it was a big party. It was really great. And lovely invitation. And at the bottom of this invitation, there are four letters. And I wonder if anyone can guess what four letters are on the bottom of my invitation here. Yeah. No. Any other guesses? What's on the bottom of my invitation? Adults can have a go if they like. Okay, one hit. Nope. Any other guesses? RSVP. And would anyone like to... What does RSVP stand for in your best accent? Répondez s'il vous plaît, which roughly translated means you need to reply. Okay? You need to reply. Because it's not automatic. If it says RSVP... on an invitation, it's not automatic. You have to respond. You have to say, yes, I'm coming, or no, I'm not coming. And if you don't respond, that counts as no, I'm not coming. It's not automatic. And Jesus' invitation to us is like that. It's got an RSVP at the bottom. We have to reply. And I'm afraid that lots of people miss out on God's party because they never reply, even though it's the best invitation in the whole world. They never reply. So that's Good Friday. It's Good Friday, not Bad Friday, because it shows us that I'm loved and I'm invited. Shall we say a prayer now as we finish? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for the cross, for that first Good Friday. Thank you that it shows us that we are loved by you. And thank you that we're invited. And I pray for everyone here this morning to respond to your invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.